If you're battling a weed problem right now and you need to clean it up, just make sure you have Cleanup. That's right, K-L-E-E-N, up, Cleanup by our friends at Bonide. Family made in America. You can spray Cleanup onto sidewalks, patios, or straight into old vegetable gardens that may have been abandoned. If you've got the summer lawn you want to plant and you've got a weed problem there, spray it 7 days later, reseed it. Cleanup is fast-acting. You'll see results in just a few days, and you can get it at local independent nurseries throughout the state, including Waters Garden Center in Prescott and Phoenix, at all Summer Winds locations, and in Tucson, Savano Nurseries. For your weeds, when you're trying to clean it up, just clean it up.
It's that time of year.
Weed and grass killer, baby.
That time of year.
I got my edging around our lawn. I'm on my to-dos for this weekend.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get to the calls. We've got callers from both ends of the state right now. We have Jim from Tucson and a cowboy from Ash Fork. But let's start down in Tucson. Jim's been holding very patiently for a long time. We appreciate that, Jim. Good morning. How can we help you, my friend? See, he gave up on us. Jim from Tucson, are you there, my friend?
All right, we will come back to Jim.
He didn't believe it when we said we were going to go right back to him. So now we're going to run up to Ash Fork and talk to Cowboy.
Hello.
Hello, man.
Okay. You know those tough sheds that look like little cabins?
Yes.
Well, I got one, and what I want to do is turn it into a cabin. So I need to know the cheapest installation to get, wall paneling, and the floor I'm going to use cedar.
So you ordered it without any flooring?
Well, it comes with plywood flooring.
Okay.
It's like a storage shed.
Yeah, so you're going to go over the top of the plywood subfloor with a cedar floor.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, the most cost-effective thing for you to do, the cheapest, is just going to be buy bat insulation, rolled bat, roll it into the cavity, but it's going to be a little bit hard because to properly install insulation, you want the paper to be on the outside of the house and the insulation to be touching your sheetrock on the inside of the house. So you're actually going to kind of try and just put or don't get any backed insulation. It'd probably be the best. Your studs are 24 inch on center. Is it 2x4 or 2x6 studs?
2x6s, I think.
Okay. So you have an R19 insulation. Buy it in the bats, unpapered, and just set them in the cavity and staple them in place. You want the insulation touching your sheetrock. It's not so important that it's touching the outside paneling, but you want it touching the inside. And that's going to be hard for you because you're going to be installing it from the inside. So if anything, let it sheet and swell to the inside just a little bit. Then when you put your sheetrock, which is going to be your cheapest interior wall surface, you'll be in good shape.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I needed to know.
Okay, my friend. We appreciate the call. Thanks a million. And we've got Jim from Tucson that has gotten on the line again. Good morning, Jim.
Sorry, I was on mute, I guess.
Okay, that's all right, man.
I bought a house in Oral Valley about 7 years ago, and it was built by A.F. Sterling. And when I turn the irrigation water outside on, I have a controller. All the water inside my house, all the cold water gets hot. And I haven't got a clue what I'm doing wrong, but something.
So if I turn your irrigation system on, and then I walk to the hall bathroom, and I turn on the cold faucet, it's hot.
That is correct, yeah.
This is like the third week in a row I'm stumped on a plumbing question. These are like mystery ghost plumbing issues. Jim, I'm going to have to do it. But the good thing about it is when I'm stumped, then I spend an afternoon researching it, and I have one more piece of information to be unstumpable next time. Jim, I'm going to visit with my Rosie certified plumber. I've got two certified plumbers down in Tucson. I'm going to call Bill Woods and talk to him about it. my first inclination would be, is the pressure in your house pretty good otherwise? Do we know what the pressure is at the house?
I can test it, but I would guess it's about 35 pounds.
Okay. All right. That's a little light, but that should be serviceable. I can understand you turn the irrigation system on and you go ask for cold water and you're not getting very much pressure. I get that. But the fact that it's hot water doesn't make any sense. Unless the hot water is bleeding through the shower, the faucet valve itself and coming in. So do you have a hot water circulating pump on the house?
There was one there when I came in, but I took it off. It's not plugged in. I took it out.
And when you did that, you took the pump out. Now, there's two parts to that pump. The farthest faucet from that pump has a little jump coupler on it that connects the hot and the cold water line. I'm guessing if you go remove that, what's happening is when the irrigation comes down, the cold water side pressure is so low that the water pressure in the hot water tank is then forcing the water back through that jumper hose.
Okay.
Now I'm gonna put you on hold, and I want you to go to the faucet that's farthest away from your water heater, and go get on your knees. It's probably a bathroom. Open that base cabinet, and tell me if you don't see a hose that connects the cold water side to the hot water side underneath the sink. We'll come back to Jim here in just a couple minutes. Our blog today was on garages. We haven't even got there. David Byrne was generous enough to stay. We hardly ever get on energy savings or power consumption bills where we
don't
go long.
Take over.
Yeah. So I really appreciate David coming in and talking us through that. A lot of questions on the new rate changes and what is the best way to go. What y'all need to know, it doesn't matter if you're with APS or TEP or Unisource or SRP. If you're paying over about 10 or 11 or 12 cents a kilowatt hour, just take your total kilowatt consumption and divide that into your total bill. 2,000 kilowatts into a $250 bill. What is your total kilowatt charge? Is it 10 cents a kilowatt, 15 cents a kilowatt, 20 cents a kilowatt? And I'm telling you that with an energy management computer, programmable thermostats, and a little education, I had somebody text me a bill this week. They were 18 cents a kilowatt. I said, I can cut your bill in half, in half. But it's going to take a little education and a little equipment. If you're getting above 12, 13 cents a kilowatt, reach out to us at rosieonthehouse.com and let us know what your kilowatt charge is, and do you want us to do an evaluation of how we can get that down. At my house, and I do some pretty severe special things, and Jennifer and I are almost empty nesters. Little Carol Grace did come home this summer, so it's going to throw us out of whack a little bit. When you have a sophomore in college taking 40-minute showers, it just kind of skews your consumption just a little bit. And she has the same DNA as her mother. There's a DNA deficiency there. They don't know how to turn light switches off.
Has she learned how to close the door?
In Carol's defense?
Yes.
Her showers have gotten much shorter since she's been at college.
Oh, since she's had to share the share the showers?
Right.
Okay, well, that's good.
And we have both been trying with the light switch thing. Because you know what happens, Romy? Every time one of us switches on, he runs over to the energy management system and looks to see how much did that bump. And you know what? Insignificant.
That's just a curiosity thing with me.
Oh, please.
That's just a curiosity thing. But it's when I come home at lunch and no one's been in the house since 7:30 that morning, and I have to turn off 9 circuits of lights.
Do you see how Romy glazes over when you start this? Look, he won't even look at you. He won't get in the middle of it.
So anyway, if y'all are paying more than 10 or 11 or 12 cents a kilowatt hour, we can probably help you get that down. If you're paying 18, 20, 24, 28, 30 cents, we can definitely save you some serious cabbage. Let's go to the garages. We've been talking about them the whole merry month of May.
And the final touch on that is finishing the floor. If you're doing storage, if you're going to be adding cooling, whether it's evap cooler or you're going to be insulating and adding a mini split, you know, the last thing you get to is the floor because you're walking on it. You're doing a lot of things to bring your new cabinets in, to get your insulation in, change your garage door. The last thing you want to do is put on a brand new epoxy custom finish on top and then do a bunch of contractor grade work on top of it. Now, that's not to say ignore it until then, because your finish coat for your concrete, decorative concrete surface is only as good as what's underneath. So you don't want to beat it up either. If it's an old garage floor, the first thing we've got to do is get all the oil stains out. The amount of prep, it's impossible to over prep a surface, I think. You could probably, if you're using harsh chemicals, you could definitely oversaturate and leave a residue that you don't get washed off, and then it creates a problem. But there's a lot of great things. It used to be called Beanie Dew, or is it Beanie Dew now? Or is it? It used to be called.
I've lost track, buddy. I think now it's going back to a Centris name.
So there's two different
same products,
ones.
But we'd have to track that down.
What used to be called Do It, and then there is a Beanie Do that's a soybean base, and both of those work great for getting oil out of your concrete finishes. And you've got your cracks to worry about. There's a lot of people that will use a large caulking to fill in the expansion joints. There are correct products for that. Caulking isn't designed for that big of a gap, and especially when you're in an outdoor situation where the garage door is up and down, and it's not a complete HVAC-controlled environment, the amount of moisture that is going to make it expand and contract is just going to shorten the life of that. So you don't have to fill in expansion joints. A lot of people like to if they're trying to, if they've got roll-around stuff. I know some people that were using it as a dance studio.
Yep.
For training, and obviously you don't want your high heels or things to slip
taps
into your into your expansion joints. So there's a few cases that that's applicable.
It's just it's a great way to block insect infestation and small little dust infestation. So it really adds a great level of cleanliness for sure.
I did look up Beanie Dew for you, and it takes you to Amazon, and there's lots of little head beanies, but it's also it's being made now under a Blue Bear is the product manufacturer, and it's still called Beanie Dew Mastic and Adhesive Remover.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Beanie Doo. Yeah. So make sure you're not. This isn't something you put on your head. It's made after the soy. It's named after the soybeans it's derived from, and then once you get it done, you've got a couple options on what you're going to put. Epoxy coatings are probably the most popular finish for the garage, but that's not the only option you have for the garage. We'll talk about it more on the backside of this.